So welcome, everybody. Hello. Good evening. We've got our usual groupies here tonight for the locals. Mark and April and Jerry and Ellie and Rex and Liz. And we're having more and more people viewing. They should be watching live in Australia and New Zealand tonight. It's pretty hard for them to do it on Saturdays because it's at 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. their time. So I don't think they're going to be watching tomorrow. But we'll have all of the recordings on the website within a few days. So you can certainly go in and look again there. I remember when I was following Malcolm Smith real closely. He introduced me to the verse that man's born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And I know myself, every time we approach these meetings, especially now that we're doing them every other month instead of every month, that I start smiling a lot as we approach the time to share because snot hits the fan for the week coming up to the time to prepare. And I don't believe that there's ghosts or something out there trying to stir up a spirit of error. I think that within our own minds, we become more sensitive to our surroundings as we enter into these times. And this weekend is going to be very difficult for a lot of listeners. I'm going to bring some things home, and some of the things I'm going to say tonight and tomorrow are going to shock all of us a lot. And there's a reason for that, because we need to get our attention drawn to reality and what's real versus what we witness in this world. And that's not an easy task for us. And we've talked about what man can do and what he can't do. And we just have to come to the realization that we can't do anything to change who we are. And everything around us is counter to that. We're surrounded by events and circumstances and news and everything that is speaking the opposite of what we are. And that doesn't mean we don't pay attention to it. It doesn't mean we aren't active and doing things in this world. But we really have to begin to come to a place where we just don't let those things change our understanding of truth. That's all. It doesn't mean things aren't going to happen. It doesn't mean we're not going to react wrongly or rightly to these things. It has nothing to do with any of that. What it has to do with is what do we know within our being that pulls us back in to what the truth is. Because I'm going to tell every one of you that are watching, everything that we see, everything that we experience in this realm is temporary. And so that's why we can't ever get fixed on it. We have to continue to lay down our version of how we think life should go in this world. You have to, because it'll trap you. And so that's why that I'm going to shock you this weekend and say things in absolute terms so that to some degree everybody's offended. Everybody. So in order for us, though, to understand the statements I'm going to make, we've got to set aside our questions and reactions and put them on the shelf for the time being so we don't let our questions and reactions to the shock treatment I'm going to give you keep you from understanding what my goal is this weekend, okay? Because if you let them, we have to, during this time, set them aside so that we can, if we can just get a taste of what I'm going to share with you this weekend, if you get a taste of it and you know what that's like, you'll keep coming back for more. You'll keep coming back to that well that's going to satisfy you. And so, because we can't hear Revelation, if we listen to our questions and our reactions to what's going on in this world, we can't listen to it anymore. And everybody always says, well, Mike, what do you mean? You know, shouldn't I care about this and shouldn't I care about that? And I'm going to tell you, Jesus said statements and words that were way beyond that question. Way beyond. And Gary and I talked about this. And I'm going to share some things that he and I've been going through so that we stop and pay attention to what's coming out of our mouths. And so we really have got to start to learn to be speaking language to ourselves and to those around us that's truth. And so let all those things come. Don't fight them with your mind, okay? Because you're never going to win with your mind. Don't resist them with your mind. But don't let lies flow from your tongue. Don't let lies flow from your tongue. And this is why I'm going to shock you, because we're too loose with that. We think it's okay, and that's not okay. It's not okay for us to speak lies and think that somehow, somewhere, we're not connected to those things. That there's not a connection somewhere, because there is. And the connection is in our belief system. And that's the problem. We've been surrounded by people telling us lies all of our lives, from when we were born, from our parents to our siblings to our friends to church, and it's infiltrated us so much that we have to start speaking a different language. If you don't understand it, just don't say anything. Write me, send me an email, ask me questions, it's okay. But we don't want to do it right now, because I want you to be shocked. And so I don't want to take questions during these times, because there's something I want you to understand. And there's a lot of, it doesn't mean, if you followed me around with a video camera, you're going to say, Mike, do you believe this stuff you're sharing? And I'm going to tell you, yeah, but if you record my tongue sometimes, it doesn't sound like it. I'm just telling you, it doesn't. When I'm doing business and working stuff, I get frustrated. And up till the time of this meeting, I'm just telling you right now, it's more than snot hits the fan, but I'm going to try to talk nice, okay, as much as I can, okay? But for the last 2 months, hell has been on fire. And it always happens. It always gets more escalated. It always builds right before truth comes to you. So it's okay that man is born to trouble and the sparks fly upwards. That's okay. But you have to realize something tonight. You're not a man. You are not a man. So that's the problem, is you believe you're a man. And this is why John said, no man has ever seen God. No man can ever see God as long as he believes he's a man. He can't. And so I want to start out tonight with a question that was sent to me. And when I got this question, I said, I got to put the brakes on to what my plan was for these meetings, and I've got to go back again and hit the refresh button and start over with some things so that we understand truth. We've all embraced the truth of righteous judgment. It's a wonderful teaching. And so Miranda wrote me a couple weeks ago, and she said, Dear Mike, I see the need for more teaching as to how we can live the belief of righteous judgment in our everyday lives. I thank God for your teaching with purity And if you are so led, I believe it would be extremely helpful. We have wonderful teaching about what righteous judgment is. And I believe in my heart instruction as to how to live it daily could assist us in appropriating this amazing truth. So I thank you very much, Miranda. And I love it when people send me emails and talk to me because it always directs me on what I am to focus on, because I get literally have dozens and dozens of recordings of revelation that I hear, and a lot of times I don't understand it. That's why I know it's new, because I don't understand it myself. And so I have to listen, and things start to come together as we begin to gather. And that's what's exciting about it for me, because I can just tell you it's not my word. Now you have to forgive me if I don't use all the right words to express this, because it's new to me. But if we can grab a hold of the truths that I'm trying to focus on, and forgive me for my poor English, that's what I want to get. Why I want to get a hold of you, and that's why I want to say things that shock you. So we got to go back, and we need to answer this question. And the reason we need to answer it is because I hear and see all the time language that doesn't line up with righteous judgment. People say, I love righteous judgment for myself. It's a wonderful truth to understand that. But then out from their tongue, lies are spoken. And so we have to focus in on what it's not to understand what it is. That's what we have to focus on. And that's why when Jesus said, all our answers lie within one simple passage. And he said, judge not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. So when Miranda asked how, Jesus gave us a very clear answer. When he told us that it was based on how we handle the appearances. It's not based on an understanding of righteous judgment. It's based on how we handle the appearances. Now, I'm not talking about how you handle the appearances with your mind. It can't be that. But then, with the mouth speaks forth what? We know that with the tongue, man's heart is revealed. And a man's heart is desperately wicked. Now, it doesn't mean you're into debauchery and you're out running around and going to brothels and getting drunk every night, you know. It's not what it's talking about at all. Matter of fact, Jesus never even cared about all those things. We've got perfect examples of that with the adulterous woman. He didn't tell her to go stop committing adultery. He said, go and sin no more. Now, the answer to go and sin no more isn't go stop committing adultery. That's not the answer. The answer is something different. That stuff will take care of itself on its own. But see, the thing is, if you're in the middle of it and you're still told not to do it, and you still want to do it, you got a hell of a mess on your hands, don't you? So that can't be the answer. And I'm telling you right now, it didn't work for me, and it doesn't work for me. I have to let go of all that and realize that eventually it will come in line behind truth. So it can't ever be, can't ever have anything to do with circumcision or uncircumcision. It can't have anything to do with your works in this realm. And so that's the deeper truth that we have to understand. So Jesus said it's based on how we handle the appearances that we can understand what righteous judgment is. So we can hear the truth of righteous judgment with our mind, and then we can go out and we're out speaking lies all the time that don't line up with that. And so that's where the work has to happen. And so it's based on how we handle the appearances. And the byproduct of that is, through that interpretation, how we view our deity. I'm talking about a personal deity now. I'm not talking about you blabbing your mouth and saying, I am God, because we know that's not, Jesus never said that. He never said that. When they talked to him, he said, I am nothing of myself. He said, I come not to glory in my own self, but as the Father within me that speaks the truth. Now that Father within you only has one message. He doesn't have a whole bunch of messages. So if your answer to that is, takes 10 pages and essays and editing and you got to talk to all your friends, that isn't it. There's just one answer. So here we go. Hang on to your britches, because I'm going to start with, I've got four reasons tonight, and this is number one. And it began when I was with Gary back in November when he and I drove to the cemetery. And that whole weekend we were talking about the changeless kingdom. And he and I are sitting there drinking a shot of scotch and smoking a great big cigar in the middle of a cemetery with a bunch of stones. It's got names carved with nobody there. Totally empty, void of spirit, void of anything. We're in a land that's full of carved stones and nothing's there. And the Father said to me that night before we came, he said, and I shared this with Gary, we will never find the kingdom of God until we stop looking for it. Now, there's 100 verses that say that, but we aren't getting it. Because we think the kingdom of God has something to do with the appearances. And it has nothing to do with them. Absolutely nothing. So the kingdom of God can never be found until we quit looking for it. So I don't know when it was, a few weeks later, Gary had sent me an email. And we've talked about it, so I know he's going to be okay with this. But he sent me an email about a group of people that said they're going to bring new technologies to the world that are going to free everybody of starvation. They're all going to have water. They're not going to need tents anymore to live in. And it's going to establish some kind of new era upon this earth. Okay? And I'm not against that. I'm not against that. But I'm going to say again, it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Absolutely nothing. Zero. And so I shot him back an email. I said, Gary, are we trying to establish some kind of peace on earth or a kingdom on earth? And he says, oh, no, 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 no. He says, I'm with you, Mike. He says, it's fine. And I'm going to tell you why it won't work. Because even if somehow all of these things would come to be, it will never change the mind of man. It will never stop his greed. It will never stop him from hurting his neighbor. And I'll give you a perfect example. Just about every, there's so many countries in the world that the United States is helping freely. And the governments are so corrupt, they take in the spoils and they don't give it to their people. So there's a perfect example of it right there. Little, if nothing, in these countries ever gets to the people. And this is my point about if somehow all of these things came, they would be exploited and perverted and twisted into whatever individual has the power in this world over it. And so it's never going to work because man is born to trouble. And so so here's the problem. The bigger problem with all this is that we are still seeking, we are still seeking a false kingdom to come to the inhabitants of this earth. When Jesus said so clearly, my kingdom does not come by observation. But we're still struggling with it, guys. And this is the answer to Miranda's question. This is one of the number one answers. We're still struggling with that. And so we hear news and things come to us. And we think we're doing God's work by going out and trying to create peace within a human race that does nothing but think about itself. And it's never going to work. It never will work. And it's never going to change within humanity. It's never going to change. So in Revelation, I want to talk to you about how it speaks about this. Because remember, it's not about circumcision. It's not about uncircumcision. It has nothing to do with the works of man or us. And so John said, "For true and righteous are his judgments." Now we know the Father is judging the world in righteousness. Here we go. "For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore." Now what's the great whore? It has to be man's mind. "He has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication." The lust for his own life. The desire to get everything lined up in order so that everything's going according to oil and there's peace in my life and nothing ever happens that's bad. That's the great whore. That's what it is. And the reason I know that is because the definition of hell and destruction is that man's never satisfied. That's the definition of it. So no matter what news you brought in here with you, no matter what trouble you're experiencing tonight, if we can't learn to let those things go, instead of following them around like some kind of craven dog that's got rabies, you will not live in the kingdom of God. You will not enjoy the kingdom of God, and you won't be able to speak truth to your neighbor. So this isn't talking about lust for sex or food or more money or more health, although these things can and will harm you in this realm. But it's our desire for a false kingdom that's corrupting the earth. Now I'm going to talk about everyone's history right now. And our history is Hebraism. What race of people do you know that's still waiting for the Messiah to come and establish a kingdom on this earth? Their whole religion is centered around it. It's the Hebrews. And all of us have been trained thoroughly in Hebraism. So thoroughly that we don't know the difference between the real kingdom of God and trying to establish some kind of kingdom on this earth. We just do not know the difference. And so out from our mouth, we begin to speak lies that are the opposite of a kingdom that doesn't come with observation. And that's shocking. I certainly would like things to go well at my business. I certainly would like that. I'd certainly like to wake up and not have pains in my back and my legs hurting and all these other things that come with getting older. I'm struggling seeing now. I got this thing blown up to 150%. That's why I can't use this anymore because I can't read it, okay? And so I got to use the computer now and blow the thing up. That's okay. I just blow it up. Thank God for technology, you know? I just blow the thing up. But what I want to do is I want to blow up your ideas of what the kingdom is not. And that's the only way we're going to understand righteous judgment. We have to know what it's not. So that when it comes to us, it say, wait a minute, I know you. That's not the real deal. It sounds like a duck and looks like a duck, but it ain't a duck. So we got to get our quack or Geiger counters out, okay? That's really the answer. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to do things in this world. But don't let them pull you back into a realm of lies. And begin to practice then speaking reality to yourself and truth to yourself. That's why it's even important how we sing songs. And we're going to talk tomorrow. I'm going to keep turning the heat up between tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. And I've just started with the little shocker. But it's going to get turned in because we're going to identify some of these areas we go that are the opposite of a kingdom that's within you, where righteousness and peace dwells. Now, if the kingdom of God is where righteousness and peace dwells and you're not in peace, that ain't it. It's a duck. It's not a real duck. It's a fake duck. And so we've got this false kingdom idea that somehow things are going to improve on the earth. It's never going to happen. So let go of it, guys. We've got to let go of it. We have to let go of it. And it's the only way your head isn't going to get out of joint. Because when we watch it closely, this is exactly what it looks like. It's up one day and down the next, up one day and down the next. And we keep waiting for the change to get better. And as long as you're doing that, you're not in a spiritual realm. And so Ephesians talks about it again. And Paul begs us to change our conversation. He says, put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Here's the answer to her question. Put off the false conversation. Put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Now, I love the way the Message writes it because he translates it correctly. And he's emphasizing exactly what I'm talking about. He says, everything, and I do mean everything, connected with the old way of life has to go. And what's happening is there's still leaven within our language. There's still leaven within our language. And if you speak it out and something in your heart doesn't correct you, okay, don't worry about what you speak. But if there's not something in you that doesn't correct you, it means you really don't understand a kingdom of righteousness and peace. Is there something in there that's correcting you and saying, wait a minute, that's not it. That's not it. Okay? Whoa, put the brakes on. Close your mouth and be still and know that I'm God within you and that I'm judging the world in righteousness. So what's your problem, Mike? Why are you speaking these things openly? Why? Don't you know I live in a faith realm that's beyond the appearances? Don't you really know that? And this is the beginning. This, I think, is the pinnacle of why we don't live every day in righteous judgment. Why we're not experiencing that. And, you know, I told you last time, I got a bottle of oil called Transformation, and I wished I could just give you all a few drops and you'd get it. Everybody would get it. But I'm just telling you, I still struggle too, guys. But I'm learning how to begin to respond to things in this world instead of react to them. I'm learning. Does that mean I'm perfect at it? No. But I know one thing. I really do know the difference. I can tell you I know the difference. That I have down. So don't follow me around, okay? If you do, forgive me. Because you're not always going to hear what I'm telling you, okay? And so, can we just be humble enough to listen to ourselves and identify these areas that we're following around and say, what? That's not a duck. That's not the real thing. Okay, Mike, shut up. Just be quiet, Nevins. And I'm I'm not a huge talker. I can listen. But there's times, you know, I sound like an auctioneer, okay? There's certainly times. And I know when Diane and her sisters get together and we've been out with them in Nebraska and all them get going, I'm telling you, there's four or five women talking at 200 miles an hour and I have to leave. Because I like to listen to one conversation at a time and take it in. Do you know what I mean? And they all tell me they are understanding each other, and that might be true, but that ain't for me. So I go crawling down into the basement with the cats and just wait till the smoke clears, okay? That's how what I do with it. And that's all right. They're so far ahead of me with whatever they're doing, they aren't paying attention to me anyway, so they don't even miss me. Because off they go, you know. You know, it's noisy. It's really noisy. And that's great. I'm glad they can all enjoy all that stuff, right? That's okay. So Paul says, put off concerning the former conversation. Well, we need to find out what that is, don't we? What is the former conversation? That doesn't line up with the kingdom of God. That whore that's fornicating your own peace. That's robbing you of your peace. That's what the whore is. Seeking something outside the kingdom of God. So Paul says, I love this verse. It's just amazing. So I, you know, if you want my version of it, I took the Amplified, the King James, and the Message, and I made my own version that lines, and it lines up with itself, believe me. It's a lot of work to do those things, but it's great. Now, this is what he says after that. He says, after he says, I do mean everything connected with the old way of life has to go. He said, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. There it is. Now, why is it deceitful lusts? And Peterson says, the desires that spring from delusion. It has nothing to do with wanting to have sex. This isn't talking about lust for sex. It's talking about the desires that come from the illusion that there's supposed to be a kingdom established on this earth. That's what it's talking about here. Because that's the highest level of understanding, is dwelling in a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy. You can't get any higher than that. Because if you're dwelling there, you're not troubled by what you see. You're not going, oh no, that isn't good. Now it's going to come to you and your mind's going to say, oh no, that's not good, right? So what's that a call to? It isn't a call to start doing this. I'm telling you that right now. Okay, it isn't a call to do this. It's a call to stop and listen and say, Father, what is my problem? Why am I not at peace with what I'm hearing? What is my problem? And that's what it's a call to. So Peterson says, desires that spring from delusion. So now he's giving us the answer. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which after God is created in, guess what? The understanding of righteousness and true holiness. There it is. It's so clear. The understanding of righteousness and true holiness. A life renewed from where? A life renewed from where? From the inside, Peterson says. Not from everything going well outside. A life renewed from inside. And so from the innermost being flows rivers of living water. Not having circumstances line up. From the innermost being. And I'm afraid that we're strangers to this truth. I'm just afraid we're strangers to it. And that needs to change. And I believe it begins by first listening to what rolls off your tongue. And if you then check yourself and say, wait, I really don't believe that. Tremendous victory right there. A huge start. Don't worry about whether you said it or not. Just then realize, I don't agree with that. That's not reality. And so what do we do then with it? And that's where the difficulty comes in, because there's so many things we're involved with. There's so many places we go. Because as men, we go to and fro across the earth trying to seek a living. And it's the wrong living, it's the wrong life that we're seeking. So he says that we put on the new man after God, which is created in the understanding of righteousness and true holiness. And Peterson said, a life renewed from the inside. Now all these things describe for us a new kingdom that's where? Within our being. A new kingdom. And so in Revelation it said, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth descending from above. And behold, all things have become new. Now, guys, that's a reality today. That's not a future for tomorrow. That truth is a reality today. And that's why Jesus came to introduce us to a new kingdom that he said was within you, where righteousness and joy and peace dwell. A new kingdom. And so I want to help you know what it's not and help you identify a language that's not true. And I believe that's the beginning place. That's the landing strip where we have to land and just slow down enough to where you're listening to yourself. And I guarantee everybody that's listening here will know how to respond. Okay? Now, the more you're active in this realm, the more challenges you're going to have. But it doesn't change reality and it doesn't change the truth. It never does. And so, the inhabitants of this earth are never going to come to their true sonship as long as they are seeking a material kingdom to any degree and continuing to desire peaceful conditions on this earth. Here's the answer to Miranda's question. Seeking a false kingdom. Chasing the circumstances of a false kingdom is the first answer to that question. And so Jesus said, judge not by appearances. This is exactly what he was talking about. Don't let the appearances fool you that something that you see is something that's eternal. That's a good way to put it, isn't it? Don't let those things fool you that it's eternal. And guys, if it's not eternal, it's not reality. Because within the pure definition of reality, it cannot be anything that changes. And we went over that in November, talking about a changeless kingdom. And we realized at that time that the reason it's changeless is because the kingdom of God is God himself in the man. And I change not, he says. Now we change all the time, because we're following our mind. We're following the illusion that somehow conditions in this earth might change. And so when Gary sent me that piece, I thought, okay, let's just say it happens. Okay? Let's just go with that. Let's just say it's going to happen. And off it goes. Do we know other people in the world that go through life and they've got all the money and the women, all this kind of stuff, they got all these things? I want to tell you, a lot of them commit suicide. A lot of them. You know how many movie stars and people there are that have all they can have and they go out and blow their brains out because it didn't work. It never worked. So to me, something else is going to shock you. I think it ought to get worse. To be honest with you, Well, I'm not going to follow that, okay? I'm just saying, if that ain't going to work, then to me, more people are going to give up on it if it gets worse. And I'm sort of going against, like I said, I'm going to go with it now, so don't follow me too far with it. Don't get too excited about that, okay? Because I'm not going to follow it, all right? There, it says 10,000 can fall at your right side, but I will never believe that the kingdom is going to be established in this earth. I'm never going to believe it. And I might lose people after this. There might be people that disagree with it. You know, it's okay with me. But I'm convinced, and we've been picking at this and given little blurbs about this for a long time. A long time. And I've decided just to let the hammers out and just start to go around and nail all these things that we're talking about that don't line up with that truth. I don't want a kingdom that comes by observation. I'm not looking for that, guys. I don't want it. I want truth. I want to live in harmony and peace and joy no matter what happens around me. That's what I want, okay? No matter what happens around me. And if all hell breaks loose, I've got the answer. I can say, don't pay attention to that. Don't pay attention to this. It might happen. The dinar might revalue. But how long have they been saying that? Huh? How long have they been saying it? Now, I got hoodwinked by it. Okay? But I'm going to tell you right now what I did. As soon as I got some and put it in my safe, I'm going to tell you right now, I forgot all about it. I'm telling you, I forgot about it. I did. And that's the answer. And so if it comes, fine. If I get, listen now, you know, I got enough where if it happens, I'll be able to help everybody, okay, that I know. And that, you know what? That's what I'd do with it. I wouldn't hang on to it. I'd let it go. But if I went around and gave everybody a big wad of money, it ain't going to help them. Because they're going to piss it away, and they're going to be right back where they found themselves. Okay, I'm just telling you. They'll be right back there, and they'll want more. Yeah, they'll want more. So it's never going to end. So that ain't it, okay? So now, would I like it to reevaluate? Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. I'd go for that. That'd be great. But my mind's been off it. Matter of fact, it's the first time I even said dinar probably in 3 years. Okay? I've never even talked about it. Okay, so heaven, the definition of heaven, which is the kingdom of God, God said that it's God in the man. The habitation of God is with man. That's what it said right after it said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Behold, the habitation of God is with man. And he said to Abraham, I'm your reward, but did he hear him? No. He said, I've had sex with a lot of women and I still don't have a son. So that's what was going on. I mean, he was going with the maidservant and, you know, he just wanted a kid. He didn't care who he got it with, he just wanted a kid, right? Didn't he? And then when he was with Sarah, he even lied that he was her husband to save his own neck. See? So, did he really understand it? I think he did eventually. I think he understood eventually, just like we do. There's no difference. We're still growing into the knowledge and understanding of the kingdom and who the Father is. I know I am. And that's fun. Because sometimes I get pretty discouraged where I find myself. And I'm saying, God, I sure hope there's more understanding coming because I'm a little bogged down. So talk to me. And out it comes. Here comes some more. So, now here's number two, the number two answer, okay, to this. And actually, Jerry and Ellie were at these meetings with us, but Diane and I don't know if it was a month ago, a couple months ago, we were at a Young Living meeting, And everyone was talking about cancer and about health and about oils and protocols to try to keep our physical bodies alive. And so I'm hearing two things about this that we need to explore further, okay? And Jerry, this had nothing to do with you, okay? This already was there before you came in tonight, so this will be good for you, okay? And one is, and here's the other shocker, okay? Matter of fact, this is a very key answer to Miranda's question on how can I live in righteous judgment. It's a really a big key answer. Besides the fact that we're out running around trying to establish a kingdom, a false kingdom on the earth, okay, and that's a big one, okay, and this is part of it. What is physical life? Is there even such a thing? Now, I've answered that already. I've already answered it. So you should know the answer, but I'm not going to put you on the spot. But what is physical life? And is there such a thing? And the answer is no. The answer is absolutely no. Hello. Come in. Shocker number two. The answer is there's no such thing as physical life. Hello. Come in. Can you hear me? There is no such thing as physical life. There is no such thing as a physical life that can end within the kingdom of God. Right? Can't end there. And hang on to your hats now. Hold your tongues a little bit, because when I start to roll some verses out here, it's going to say the same thing. Okay? It's going to say exactly the same thing. And this is what it means. It means it absolutely. So the title of this subsection is called The Fear of Death. And we've said, Tony said it, I've said it many times, nobody ever dies. No one ever dies. No one ever dies. We've said it and said it and said it. Nobody's tied me up and beat me with the whip or told me I was a liar yet, but I'm just telling you, we still don't believe it. When it comes to health, we don't. When it comes to my big toe throbbing so much, or when I had kidney stones, I'm just telling you, I failed this test. I'm telling you right now, I utterly failed. Because I swore, yes, my wife, I swore I was dying. I'm not kidding you. It was a 7-millimeter kidney stone stuck in my urethra tube that's 2 millimeters wide. And guess what, guys? It didn't go through. It didn't fit. And I had pains. And I mean, you should have heard me. I went into the emergency room and I confessed everything to the nurse. Well, I've been drinking a lot over the last week. And I probably had too many drinks the night before. And I'm smoking cigars. And I got to be dying from lung cancer and liver cancer. I'm sure of it. Okay, that's what I thought. That's where my mind went, right? I'm not kidding you. And she just ignored me. She was very indifferent to all that blabbing, okay? Because she probably hears it all the time, right? But I mean, I'm telling you, my lower abdomen down here, way down here now, there was so much pain. I was seething on the floor in a fetal position. And I was in so much pain, I could not get comfortable anywhere. So I started going in the bathroom because I thought I had to pee. Then I thought I had to poop. And none of it happened. Okay? And then I wanted to throw up. Then I couldn't do that even very well, right? So I was pacing around like a panther. trying to get comfortable while they were trying to figure out what the hell was wrong with me. Okay? And so in the meantime, I'm thinking I'm going to die. So guess what I started doing? Praying to Jesus. The wrong thing. Okay? I started praying to a Jesus somewhere. Somewhere else, right? Wherever you are, Jesus, fix me. Okay? Everybody does it. Wherever you are, fix me. Now, they come to me and they said, "Sir, we figured out what's wrong with you. You got a kidney stone the size of a steely marble in your urethra." Now, that was a big relief. At least I knew I didn't have lung cancer and I didn't have liver cancer, right? So that I checked those two off. So that was good, right? So I took a big sigh of relief, but I still was dying. And they gave me some... what the heck was it they gave me? They gave me narcotics. And you want to know what it did? Nothing for my pain. And it made me crazy, and I got so dizzy, when they were taking me down to the gurney, I started barfing again. And I said, "Nurse, have you got anything else?" And she says, "Well, you know what? We got this drug that helps with pain. It's for kidney stones." And I couldn't even get mad at her. I just said, "Well, can I try one of those?" And it was Toradol. She gave me one of them, went down to... I went from a 12, because 10's the worst, I went from a 12 to about a 3, and at least I could, you know, I could get a little bit comfortable and set still, you know, but I was pacing up until then. But that took 4 hours, guys. And if anybody know what that pain's like, it was 4 hours that I was sure I was dying, okay? So I'm confessing, you know, I didn't follow what I'm telling you then. I did not even follow it, okay? But it's a good lesson, isn't it? It's a good example. So now you can all confess where you're not following, hopefully, right? Because I'm puking on you and telling you how I didn't follow it, right?
Take a drink of water.
No, I'm okay. I'm all worked up, aren't I?
Yeah.
Now here we go with another shocker, okay? Here we go with another shocker, and your mind and your tongue hooked together, right? Speaking lies. Here we go with another one. If you believe you can die, you will. If you believe you can die, you'll suffer and die. And Jesus said it to him when the guy said, "I want to follow you." And he said, "Well, let me go bury my uncle first." And what did he say? It was not nice. "Let the dead go bury the dead." Didn't he? That's not nice, guys. That's very rude to say to a human being that believes in death. How could you say to a human being who believes in death, "Let the dead go bury the dead"? That's very insensitive, isn't it? To this world, isn't it? Should I go into a funeral with some friends of ours that's passed? And go up to his wife and said, "Let the dead bury the dead"? I probably will hold my tongue, okay? I'm not going to say that. If you believe you can die, you will. And you'll suffer right to the end, and then you're going to be shocked when your toe quits wiggling, and you're going to wake up spinning around the universe at the speed of light. I'm just telling you right now. And I'm telling you right now, you won't remember one moment of it. You will not remember a moment of it. Because when the man dies, and I'm going ahead to tomorrow, shoot, I just remember, I got to tell you now, don't I? When a man dies, his mind quits working. I'm just telling you, this brain will no longer function. It's going to die. So you're saying, "Wow, what am I going to be then?" Well, we better start finding that out, don't you think? We better start figuring that out, shouldn't we? We better start figuring out what real life is now so we can get ready just to go from one moment to the next, right? When it's all going to change in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when you quit believing in lies, that you're going to die, okay? So if you've got health issues, you've got to go clear back and start dealing with the fear of death instead of worry and go ahead and do everything. I'm okay with all that. It's fine. I'm not saying we ought to go down and start up a new Jim Jones camp and drink the Kool-Aid, okay? I'm not saying that at all. But you've got to walk in this realm with faith that you're never going to die. And then you can live while you're going through those things. Then you can start living now, right? That's the answer. That's the answer. And we've got so many verses that say that, that all their lives they lived in the fear of death, and there's no such thing as death. Oh my gosh. It says it. All their lives they lived in the fear of death. It's the old way, guys. We still haven't got over Hebraism yet. Now, I work with a bunch of Orthodox Jews. I'm telling you, they show up to my office. They're coming Tuesday, and they're so Orthodox, I see their beanie lines when they come walking into my office because they take them off and throw them in their car. And there's a ring around their head, okay? And I mean, there's certain weekends and Passovers and stuff, you cannot call them. They're out of pocket. So they let me know that they're not going to respond to me for 4 days because they're a Passover this and share the horseradish here and whatever, you know? Right? That's okay. But you ever watched a Jewish funeral? They hire people to come in and cry their brains out for a week because they believe in annihilation still, because the kingdom has not been established for them. They believe because the kingdom has not come, when you die, that's it. Now that part's true. So they're really going to be shocked, aren't they? Maybe we should be Hebrews so we get shocked more when we leave. I don't know. But we're still thinking like them, right? We're still, what makes us different than the Hebrews if we still are believing that a false kingdom is going to come to this earth? We're still waiting for Jesus to show up on the Mount of Olives. Really? And I'm telling you, it's a lie. It's a spiritual kingdom. So, the fear of death. It's a big one. So, I'm telling you right now, the answer to Miranda's question when it comes to health is you've got to go back and deal with your fear of death, not your fear of health. The fear of health isn't the problem. It's the fear of death that's the problem. You take care of that one, this all will fall in line. And you'll be twinkle toes. If you're getting chemo or whatever it is you're doing, you'll do it with a smile on your face, and you know that whatever happens, it doesn't matter because it ain't going to get me. Now, who is this me? Who's the me it's not going to get? That eternal spiritual life that's the nucleus of your being. And that spirit don't think like you. I'm just telling you right now. He don't think like you, and I'm going to prove it to you tomorrow. So don't come up and question me about it with your questions, okay? Don't do it. Hang on to them, because you're going to get them all answered tomorrow. Because this message is so long. I hope you don't go to sleep on me. I'm hoping I'm keeping you awake with these shocking things. Am I keeping everybody awake? You are never going to die, and I don't want anybody telling me that you're worried about dying. Don't come and tell me that, because I'm going to nail you. Okay? How am I going to nail you? You are loved in unbelievable love, and that love in you will never die. It's never going to die, and that is your life. And it's eternal. It always has been eternal, and it's never going to change. And so while you're dealing with your fear of death alongside of it, try to understand what life is, because that's what's going to help you get over the fear of death. Right? Hello, is anybody with me? Are you with me? Okay, good. Good. I got some moans anyways. Okay. So if you believe you can die, you will. And so Jesus said, he who loses his life will find it. Jesus said, he who loses his life, a focus on the physical realm of appearances, he who loses that, right? He who loses that will find life. That's the pure definition of what he was talking about. That's it right there. Isn't that beautiful? When he said, he who loses his life will find it. It's our perverted, twisted version that's attached to the hope of a false kingdom and your belief in the fear of, in your belief in death that you have to lose. You got to lose it all. Judge not by appearances. Hello. It's all in there. All that fits into judge not by appearances. Hello, come in. You there? Can you hear me out there? All of it fits in the answer to Miranda's question. All of it. Now, that's a big answer, right? That's voluminous, right? So why did he just say you got to lose your life? Couldn't he have given us some more details? Well, he did, but it's all over the place, okay? He did. When he said don't judge by appearances, we should have got a list of 20 things that told us what the appearances were. But you want to know something? The list is a billion, billion pages long because we all got our own list. And so how could he tell us that in a one sentence? So what is it in your life that you're judging by appearances that's robbing your peace and your joy and your contentment and your thankfulness? What is it? What is it? Just confess it to yourself. If you got to go write it out in the sand or scratch it on the inside of your garage with some red paint or carve it in a tree, I don't care. Go out and identify it and say to yourself with your tongue, I don't believe that crap anymore. Just say it. Just practice it. Just say, I don't believe it. Even if you go out and you start saying the opposite, you can say, wait a minute, Mike. You just said yesterday you don't believe that anymore. Wait, oh yeah, you're right. Because we're going to get amnesia. You're going to get amnesia. I'm telling you, I get amnesia. I get amnesia. I got 100% amnesia when that kidney stone showed up. For 4 hours I had amnesia. That I was never going to die. At least it only lasted 4 hours, Mark. But you know what? I didn't start believing it again until they know there was a fix for my kidney stone. So I'm not sure I still got it. I'm not sure I really got it. Okay? I had one after that. I had two more surgeries after that. That was the one where they wrote on my tombstone, morbidly obese, remember? They already had it on my tombstone. Because, I mean, if you're morbidly obese, you've got to be dead, don't you? Huh? You have to be. Yeah, morbidly obese. That means I told Diane, you better go get a little daisy and stick it in my belly button because it's over. They just wrote it. There it is. Here lies Mike Nevins, morbidly obese. Now, I'm going to give you some tools. I'm going to tell you again why this is true. He who loses this life, a focus on the physical realm, judge not by appearances, he who loses all that will find it. Now, I'm so glad nobody's asking me dumb questions, okay? It's really going to be good because here I'm going to tell you something again that's going to nail you. Okay? Is it possible to lose something that's eternally real? Can you lose something that's eternal? No. That's like logic 101 even. The reality of the kingdom of God is what? Life and peace forevermore. And it starts the moment you get in tune with your nucleus. And that nucleus doesn't believe in death, I'm telling you. And it's in you. It doesn't believe in death. It doesn't believe you're going to die. So you got to get in tune with yourself, not some philosophy. And don't start praying to some idol to fix your problem. I was praying to an idol. Whoops, I gave you the name, title of the third lesson. Shoot, I wanted to wait for tomorrow. Doggone it. Shoot. Ah. Doggone it, Mike. Can't you be quiet? It's really good. That's why I can't be quiet, okay? If it's reality, If it's eternal, how could you ever lose it? How could you ever lose it? This is why Jesus said, take no thought for your version of life. Take no thought for the judgment of the appearances in your life that you're following around like a crazy dog. Take no thought for that, Mike. Look unto me, listen to me, and be ye saved. Listen to me. Listen to me now. That spirit within you is speaking that to every one of you right now. Now, there's a lot of noise going on. You might have to turn that down so you can hear, right? Reach over and turn the volume down on your tongue so you can get it, because that's what's happening. We're blabbing so stinking much and talking about all the stuff going on in the world so much we can't hear. We're not quiet long enough to hear reality speak to you. Walter Lanyon said this years and years and years ago to me, and I thought he was nuts when he said it. Now I know what he means when he said, I'm not going anywhere. This is what he meant. And he talks about this, but it wasn't in absolute terms. It still had some filtery, fuzzy stuff mixed in with it that ruined the message. And I'm here to clear it up for you. Okay? And Light of the World had some fuzzy stuff in there, mixing it up, and Joel and Lanyon, and I'm clearing it up for you tonight, okay? We can't have fuzzy language. Because if there's a little bit of fuzz in there, you're going to grab it and run with it. Just a little leaven is going to ruin the whole thing. Just a little leaven. We've got to get rid of the leaven, folks, tonight. We've got to get rid of the leaven. We're going to do it this weekend. And if you leave here and you find yourself following your problem, remember what Mike said to you. Stop it. Quit doing it. And turn around and look at life. Say, Father, now this is a prayer here now to yourself. Now remember, it's here. Father, teach me your ways. Teach me, I know that I'm never going to die. Why don't I believe it? Why don't I believe it? I believe it when you say I'm never going to die, but I don't believe it. Difference between the mind and the heart, isn't it? And so are you going to follow your mind and appearances? Now, you might have to stop for a week and go tie yourself to a flagpost somewhere and disappear for it to begin. Maybe you got to do that. I don't know. But you got to get away from the noise of this world to do it, okay? So don't beat yourself up if you get pulled down every day with stuff, because your friend's going to call, the dog's, Mackie died, it's been tough, okay? Your friend's going to call and the dog's died and the aunt's dying and the uncle's dying and, you know, and you're going to go, oh, that's not good. And it's not. In this realm, it's not good. But Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Now don't say it to him, please, okay? Don't say it to him. But say it to yourself, and then listen for the right answer. You just got to find peace within yourself about it. You can't make somebody else find it. But if they get desperate enough and come to you, maybe they'll listen. Now, I did something that's going to sound rude to you. A few months ago, I had a woman that showed up at some of our meetings, and she got so much relief when she was at our meetings that she hadn't slept in days. And she got so much relief when she was here with Dot. She got so much relief when she had our meetings. She went up and laid down in the bed and didn't wake up for hours. Because somehow there was enough truth that spoke to her that relaxed her and calmed her down so she could escape the turmoil, that was going on in her mind about the appearances in her life. Now, it didn't last a long time because she wrote me sometime later and she says, Mike, I want to get together with you and pray about my problems. And you know what I told her? You want to know what I told her? I said, no. I said, I do not believe in a God that you can get together with and tell your problems to change the appearances. I said, I don't believe in that God anymore. And I am not going to do it. I can't do it. So I'm not going to lie to her and have her come in here and not do it. I'm not going to give her false hope. But this is what I did. I send her some recordings that talk about what we're talking about. And I said, you need to start by listening to these. And when you listen to these, call me back. And she never called me back. Okay? But folks, I'm telling you, it's the only answer. I'm not going to give her a false hope that's going to change again tomorrow. I'm not going to have her come in and believe she's going to live 3 more months and then die. And that's what Walter Lanyon said. I love that guy. He said a lot of things that floored you. He says, if you're looking for health, he says, why don't you just get over with it and die? Because you're going to get sick again and you're going to die eventually, right? If you believe in all that stuff. He says, why don't you just die and get it over with? That's what he said. Now, I'm paraphrasing that a little bit, but that's just what he said. He said, it's ridiculous. If you believe in death, you will die. Everything you believe about this life is going to go away, guys. Everything. It's all fading away right now. It's all going. Rex, I'm glad you're still with us, though. See, I'm not following my own stuff, am I?
Praise God.
But what? What if you could understand this so well, the stuff came to you and it didn't faze you? What would that be called? Yeah, it'd be peaceful, wouldn't it? It'd be really peaceful. And you'd be content with where you find yourself. And you could be thankful in the midst of a storm, couldn't you? You could be. So if you find yourself in a jam, start writing a thankful list, even if you don't believe it. Maybe it'll rub off on you. Just do it anyway. Do it anyway. And Liz said a verse, her verse was, godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. What is godliness? To believe there's no such thing as death? To quit chasing a false kingdom? There's two answers right there. Right? Are we different than the Hebrews? If you believe you're going to die, are you any different than a Hebrew? Nope. You're sure not. I'll get some mourners for you if you want. I'll play along with it. I'll come and cry. And then I'll say, he's not dead. Then I'll shock everybody that's there. I'll say, he isn't dead. He's not dead. And there, that should prove it to you right there, because you disappeared and you aren't dead. You're a righteous Houdini. Poof, you're gone. So why did Jesus say, take no thought for your life? How could he say something like this? How could he say that? How could he say to you, if you've got really, really bad news about your health, take no thought for that? Take no thought for that. Isn't that rude? Isn't that unkind? Isn't that uncompassionate? Well, it is here, because you can't go say that to somebody that's struggling, right? If you get news of somebody that's in the hospital on chemotherapy and they're hanging on by a thread, said, "Ah, don't pay any attention to that. You're not going to die." They wouldn't like it. And guess what? You never have to say that to them. You've got to say it to yourself. You have to say it to yourself. And as you walk around with that understanding, things could fall away. They could, they might not, and you'll say, it doesn't matter what happens to me, God, I'm still going to believe in you. I'm still going to believe that life's eternal. I'm still going to believe that life never ends. I'm still going to believe that I'm never going to die. I'm still going to believe it. Even if 10,000 beside me say the opposite, I'm not going to believe it anymore. So how could Jesus say what he said? And do you believe what he said? Here's the thing to ask yourself. Father, your son said this. Why don't I believe it? Why don't I believe it for myself? Right? That's the question to ask. Why don't I believe it? I don't really think we do. I'll be honest with you. I'm still struggling with that. So why am I struggling? Because we're afraid of death. We're afraid of something that's never going to happen. Now, isn't that embarrassing? It's sort of embarrassing, isn't it? Now, I'm sort of talking about the ego, I guess, again. My ego is embarrassed. But I don't believe that. Right? So we're putting too much weight into the physical and the appearances. So we've got to explore this tomorrow morning. And the title of that lesson is called, What Does Hinder You? So we're going to really dig into it deep tomorrow morning. What does hinder you? And I've got some beautiful passages tomorrow. And all of this is in it. Because I found the answer and then I went and read them again. And I found all of it as clear as day in it. I found all of it there. But I wasn't looking before because I didn't know the answer. That's why I couldn't find it. Now I know the answer. And I went in and I went, Shazam, there it is. It's all there. It's like the ragu thing, you know. It's all in there, you know. What does hinder you? That's tomorrow morning. So the title of this weekend is Believing in Righteous Judgment. And tonight's title is Living in Righteous Judgment. And that's what Miranda's question was. How do we live in righteous judgment? And I've just given you the answers. One, stop believing in a false kingdom and understand what it means when you're talking about believing in a false kingdom. Find out what that is. What does that mean? And then start dealing with the biggest problem, which is the fear of death. Listen, you start there, all the rest of the stuff's going to fall. You know, you torture yourself and pick one at a time and finally get there, but that's not the answer because it's going to be tied to some appearance at some level. And you've got faith ministries all over. Here I go blabbing tomorrow's lesson again, but I'm not going to do it, right? The word of faith. Well, it's all a lie. That one that's going on out there. It's all a lie, okay? It's all a lie. So the third one, yeah, we're not doing too bad. The third one, now that we've dealt with some of the reasons why we don't understand righteous judgment, I want to talk about what I felt when I got the revelation of righteous judgment. Now, I can tell you right now, I flew high for a week when I first heard this. I flew high for a week when I first heard it. And it didn't change the truth, but you want to know what happened? Some of the cares in this world come in and start chipping away at it. And I just wasn't quite as excited about it later as I was when I first heard it. Do you know what I mean? This happened. Took a bite out of it. That took a bite out of it. This took a bite out of it, you know. But I want to remind you again what it is. So it was one of the most overwhelming truths in my life, and it still is. And there was a reason I was just flying high for a week. Because one of the most overwhelming truths in your life will be when you discover the real understanding of righteous judgment and unconditional love. And I've entitled this, The Righteousness of Loving Judgment. And this is called Loving Judgment. Loving Judgment. And the reason I'm saying that is because the word judgment on its own has too many negative flyers flying behind it. So I want to call it something else. Instead of righteous judgment, I want to call it loving judgment. Because we've twisted the word righteousness. We think it has something to do with performance. and it doesn't. And we think judgment's bad news and it's good news. Okay? So, righteous judgment together is loving judgment, or what we talked about before, understanding unconditional love, that it has no strings. And out of that unconditional love, God is judging the world in loving judgment and righteousness all the time. And he is not concerned, and Jesus told us from the Father, he spoke, let the dead bury the dead. So the Father within you is not concerned about the appearances in this false kingdom. He's not. Isn't that hard? That's hard to swallow, isn't it? Yeah, me. It's hard to swallow. I didn't follow it when I was laying in there with a 7-millimeter kidney stone. I did not follow protocol. I was dying for 4 hours. I lived in the fear of death for 4 hours. And it was not fun, okay? And if it happened again, I'll bet you I'd still do the same thing. I'd probably have to call somebody up. Do you remember what I said? I forgot. I got spiritual amnesia. What did I say? I need some help, okay? Call me. Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's right. That is the work right there. This is the work. That's what it's talking about. It's just believing about what's already reality. That can't be changed. It's never ending. It has no beginning. It has no end. That's what it is. So, I hate to use the word power, so I should say it's really the only understanding in the world that can absorb everything, this loving judgment. It absorbs all the wrongs and stops looking for the rights of a false kingdom. Stops it. So what are we going to practice, guys, when we go out from here? If we start hearing news, like the disciples came to Jesus, when will the appearing of your kingdom come? And he said, if they tell you it's coming here or there, don't believe them, he said. And what's happening today? We keep hearing news. Well, the kingdom's going to come. There's going to be technology that restores the earth, and this is going to fall, and that's going to... Don't believe any of it. Don't follow it, okay? I don't want you to follow whether you think it's going to get worse or you think it's going to get better. I don't want you to follow it. That's what I'm telling you. Can you hear me? Quit following it tonight. Stop it. Stop following it, okay? Don't follow it anymore. That's what I'm telling you. That's the shocker. Quit looking for a false kingdom. Quit believing you're going to die. I don't care if in your heart you're in despair. I just want you to stop believing that it's reality. Okay? And I hope I've convinced you enough to show up tomorrow and to keep listening, because I'm going to keep building on it, because it's important. I don't want to just pass over it lightly, okay? Loving judgment neutralizes and brings everything and everyone into one accord. It's the only thing that can do this, because it never keeps records of wrongs. It's not a respecter of persons. It has no partiality. It melts away all the judgments that radiate out from our memories. Because your mind, if it quits thinking, it's dead. So where does it all come from? Our memories? Our computer banks? And I've told you many times, if I could do a memory wipe of you right now, and everything that's happened up to this moment you forgot, guess what? You wouldn't be afraid of anything. Is that true? Hello? Come in.
Hello.
I got some squeaky amens out there.
Amen.
There we go. I'm going to have to run out in the audience and say amen. If I wiped out your memory, what would happen? You'd have nothing to judge by. Nothing. Nothing to judge by. So, Jerry, go back to your thing you shared with me months and months ago about that woman that lost her memory. Remember how beautiful that was? Go read that. I don't care what you got ailing you. If you forgot you had it, you wouldn't be afraid of it, would you? And in that, you might get healed. Maybe,
yes.
maybe you would.
Because your emotions would get healed.
Maybe.
And then everything else.
Maybe, it might be. You know, I don't want to put too much weight in it now because I don't want us to start up a church again, right? The church of no memories. And we come in and we shock people with electric probes and erase their minds somehow, right? Yeah, because if we did, we'd have to do it every 10 seconds the way we go. Yeah, a bunch of lobotomies, Mark says. Okay? Yeah. Now, isn't that beautiful, though? Is that beautiful? If I wiped out your memories, you could fear nothing. And so he said just a few moments ago, put off the former conversations of the lust of your mind and your old ways of thinking. Put it off. Get rid of it. Peterson said, everything that you ever thought up until now has got to go. Because you've thought about it the wrong way. You filtered it through wrong understanding of a false kingdom and your fear of death. Now, in those two things, I'm telling you, that's Babylon right there. That's the real Babylon. That's the great whore. Right there. Because what did Jesus say? And the last thing that he overcame was death, didn't he? The very last thing. If you knew you were never going to die, it wouldn't matter to you what was established upon this earth. If you knew nothing could touch you, what would you do? You'd go running for the flames, wouldn't you? Not in arrogance, but in faith. Big difference. This no fear thing all these young punks are talking about, it's just arrogant recklessness. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Memories. Boo. Boo, bad memories. Boo. I'm going to tell you some religious tendencies of people with little faith. When you begin to understand this to any level, it's going to raise you up above the realm of forgiveness and repentance. It's a religious realm of little faith. You won't have to forgive anybody for anything because you just had a memory wipe. And you won't have to repent of anything because you don't remember what you did. Will you? Who's out there wailing and keeping asking forgiveness all the time and trying to fight, you know, for something all the time? And if you got to forgive somebody for something they did a long time ago and you haven't forgotten about it, you haven't forgiven them.
That's right. Amen.
You haven't forgiven them. So forgiveness really is just a stepping stone for those in unbelief. They're still in unbelief because they haven't forgot it. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not bragging on myself at all, but I have no animosity for anybody walking on the face of this earth anymore. Zero. I can't tell you, I can't remember what they did, but it doesn't matter to me what they did. I could recall it for you and tell you a story to help you. But I'm just telling you right now, and this all began the night Diane and I sat out on that stoop and forgave our crazy hillbilly neighbors. That's when the revelation come to me. And what did we say, honey? Let's let it go and let them have their own way. Mm-hmm. Let's let them have their way. And when we let them have their way, it didn't matter to us anymore what they were doing. And Rex, they were doing a lot of stuff to my yard. Okay, you know I like my yard. I know it. That's exactly right. Poor Mikey. They were tearing the hell out of my yard. And so you know what I did? I went out there and I fixed it. And I think he's finally realized that ain't working no more, because I haven't got pissed at him for tearing my yard up anymore. It just gets fixed. He goes and piles dirt on my asphalt. I just tell the guys, just go sweep it out and make sure you stay out of their way and wave at them when they go by. Just do that, okay? Just do that. My brother was shocked, too, because they about ran him over when they were out there working. And I said, Mark, we're not going to go back and chew him out or anything. I said, just let it go. And he could not understand. And I told him the story. And he goes, oh, well, okay. And he quit. He let it go. And he's forgotten it now, too. See? It's gone. It's out of his memory. So forgiveness is really a Band-Aid. It's just a Band-Aid for those still in unbelief. And it talks about young children. And what did it talk about? That they're still going back and confessing their sins, didn't it? He said, you still have an advocate. It's okay. But you haven't made it even to young man or fatherhood union yet. That's what John said. If that's where you're living. So if you think you got to forgive somebody, you haven't really forgiven them. Loving judgment, what is it? It's the fruit, it's the first fruit of the tree of life. It's the first fruits that you eat from the tree of life. Loving judgment. It's that fruit that's hanging, it's low-hanging fruit on the tree of life. Loving judgment. And when you partake of that fruit, what did it say? You'll live forevermore. Because you won't harbor anything. You won't live in your memory banks. You won't carry around resentment. Right? Because forgiveness with resentment is really still unforgiveness. If you verbalize forgiveness, but there's still resentment, or you can't trust them even if they do it again, you won't trust them. That's resentment. That's not forgiveness. You got to say, I don't care how many times they do it to me, I'm going to forgive them 70 times 7. That's what Jesus said. Right? That's what Jesus said. Love your enemies. And at some point, you're going to believe you don't have any. That's how you can love them. You're going to say, I don't have any enemies. I can tell you that right now, that I have no enemies. And I had quite a long list at one point. Our religious minds eat from the good side of the wrong tree. And while they're doing that, they're barking at the evil side of the wrong tree. It's the same example. I'm going to forgive you, but don't do it again. That's the wrong tree, guys. It's the tree of self-will. It's the tree of I want it my way. But the tree of life is God in the man. Full stop. It begins with the revelation that there's only God. There's nothing but God. It begins with that realization. So don't let the cares of this world come back and steal that revelation from you. There's only God. There's nothing but God. And that Father lives within you, okay? He lives within you. He's alive within you. You can't pray him into you. You can't. You can't raise your hand in Vacation Bible School and ask him to come into your heart. If he says, I beat you. If you do, he says, I beat you. I was already there. You can't. I'm telling you. It's not reality. It's a false teaching because it's works related. Okay? The only work you have to do is stop believing in something you're not. Stop believing it. Stop believing you're going to die. And stop seeking an earthly kingdom. Okay? Those are the two biggest things I think today we have to deal with. Now he within you, your deity, it is described as a lake of fire that consumes all things. That lake of fire is unending, everlasting love. When it talks about a lake of fire in the New Testament, it's talking about something that consumes. There's a whole book written on it. The fire that consumes. And it said, whatever happened to them, yet were they saved by fire. It consumed everything. It consumed all the memories. It consumed all the desires and lusts of the mind. It consumed them all in love. That's the only way we can look at the history of this world and say it's okay. It's the only way. I'm telling you. Because you start talking about some of the details, and we're going to go into it in more detail tomorrow, you can't even talk about it and have victory. You can't. You can't speak it forth out of your mouth. You got to stop and say, no, the love of God consumes all this. The never-ending love of God is a consuming fire. It absorbs it all. It consumes all things in loving judgment. When you look back with your memory and stack all the history books of time, it'd be really difficult within your mind to forgive Hitler or Stalin, especially if you were a Jewish survivor. I'm telling you now, you go look at those people, and there's a lot of bitter people out there. But wasn't it amazing what... Why can't I think of the guy that just passed from us in South America?
Mandela.
Do you remember what he said? While he was in prison, he decided to start loving those that he thought were abusing him. And they became his friends. His jailers became his best friends. Isn't that amazing? I get goosebumps telling you that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he began to lead a nation that way, and it brought them all together. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. By his example. Yeah. It's just a small piece of how big this love of God is, but it's a good start, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great start to think that way. Quit trying to, don't read your books about everything that Hitler did. Say, God, I can't believe that, but I know your love absorbs it all somehow. And my lovely wife told me about this one day when I was a hardcore Calvinist. Hardcore Calvinist. Now, I didn't believe in hell, but that was good when you're a hardcore Calvinist, right? I did get the revelation that there was no such thing as a literal burning pit, that God was hanging you on a string and frying your bacon until it got crispy. Then somehow he revived it and fried it some more, right? At least I didn't believe that. But she looked at me and said, because I believed in annihilation then. That's what I believed in, for those that did not understand salvation. She looked at me and she says, I don't know what to say, except I know that whatever God's doing with my parents, I know it's being done in love. I might not understand it, but I know in my heart that's what's happening. Amazing, isn't it? It's a beautiful truth, and I've never forgotten it. Now I understand it today in a fuller way. So, so how could the history of all that go away? How could it disappear? We have to forsake the history of our memory. We do. Loving judgment isn't a feeling. It's not an emotion. But when we understand loving judgment correctly, we realize that it is the right outward picturing or byproduct of pure wisdom. And we've got a lesson called pure wisdom. Does anybody remember what the meaning of that was, pure wisdom? There's only God. There's nothing but God. There's only love. There's only that all-consuming fire that absorbs all things and brings everything into oneness. Right? It's all that's reality out there, guys, right now, today, is there's only God, there's nothing but God. So love is the truth that brings everything and everyone into oneness, into non-judgment, into a world beyond good and evil, into a world that no longer prays to an idol to change something on the appearance realm. There's a little sneak preview of what we're going to talk about tomorrow afternoon. Because if you're praying to a God to change something on the appearance level, you're praying to satisfy your own judgment of what you think is wrong in this world. Whoops, hello. Yikes. Don't throw anything at me, okay? You got to think about that one. Yeah, it's true. I'm telling you it's true. We've said it 10 different ways already. And I'm going to say it to you 10 more ways tomorrow till we get it. Okay? Because it's a big one. All right? I'm going to identify to you this God is too tomorrow. It's going to shock you out of your britches too. Because it talks about it in Scripture. Who it is. So, lesson 3 is, little children, keep yourself from idols. Whoops. Little children? Little children. It's not talking about little baby kids. It's talking about immature faith. Immature faith. Keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from idols. It's a great verse that I transposed out of 3 versions of Scripture out of Isaiah where the true God says that. Who have you been praying to that can't save you? He said, who have you been praying to? Who is it you're mumbling to down there? He's saying it from in here, sorry. Who are you mumbling at out there? It's coming from inside you. What you mumbling at? What you upset at now? What don't you like now? Something else, which one is it? 351 this year or this week? What is it you don't like now, Mike? Because God, so many times when I've got in despair, guys, so many times when I've got in despair and I just said, Father, what's my problem? And he's come back every time so far and he said, Mike, it's your judgment. Mike, hello. Yeah, it's your judgment. So I say to myself, self, what am I judging? And up it comes. But I got so tangled up in it, I couldn't even see it. And so I was just attached to the fix of my judgment. I wasn't even looking at the judgment anymore. I was just focusing in on the fix. Right? It's like drugs. That's what I was doing. Hello? And soon as I realized what I was judging and quit agreeing with it, it all disappeared. That quick. I didn't ask for forgiveness. I didn't start praying to an idol. the truth came and it just disappeared. It went up in a puff of smoke, just like it did out there on the stoop with the neighbors. Truth came and it, gosh, you love torturing yourself, Nevitz? I guess so. That's what I was doing, torturing myself. And you know what? It wasn't even a big deal, really. It wasn't that big of a deal. But man, I turned a molehill into a mountain. I made a mountain out of a molehill, I mean. Because I was sure that had to change. And all I had to do is let it go. Quit riding it like a bull. I told you about that story with my lift, remember? I rode that thing like a bull for 2 weeks. I ended up making money on the whole deal. Oh, boy. So, keep yourself, little children, keep yourself from idols. Tomorrow afternoon, stay tuned. Okay? Do you ever pray for good to come to people in this world? About the people of Syria, Egypt. You want to know something? You want to know what's so subtle about it? Because when we start praying for good to come to a people, you want to know what has to come with it? An opposite. What is it an opposite? What's the opposite? It's our judgment of the world for peace. What's that? What did we call that? What was number one? Longing for a false kingdom? Hello? Hello? Come in. Are you still with me? Mike, anybody going to show up tomorrow? Okay. I've got to tell you these things, guys, because this is the stuff that's killing us. I'm telling you, I'm going to shock you. I'm nailing it on the head, okay? If you're praying for good to someone, you at the same time have to believe in the reverse of it. So you believe in the evil that opposes it. This is the great whore it's talking about. And so, if we're praying for good, for peace to come into the world, it means there's something not so good that's punishing you. Into what? A prayer of judgment. Does that sound successful? You think God hears a prayer of judgment? Does our God, who's judging the world in righteousness and unconditional love, hear a prayer of judgment? Does he hear it? Can he hear it? No. He can't hear it. And we're back eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil again. We went way back to the beginning again. I mean, our necks have got to be getting out of joint by now. You know? So we're flowing with every appearance and every news we get. And we want peace in our lives, but there sure isn't peace in Syria. And I mean, if you're really, 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 really so hung up on that, then you better get your little butt in your private jet and fly over there and do something about it. Okay? Either that or let it go. Okay? If that's really, if you're, I'm all concerned about that, well then go over and do something about it then. Okay? And see how far you get. Call me back. Let me know how you get, how it ends up. You know, if you go build a house over there, it'll probably get burnt down. They think you're a Christian. It's going down. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Knock your brains out. I'm not gonna pray prayers of judgment anymore, guys. I ain't doing it. And I hope you join me. I hope you do. I want you to. Okay, I want you to hear me. Now, at the same time, it doesn't mean we go around recklessly abandoning rules and regulations because those rules were put in place to to manage unbelief on the earth. It's what they're there for. It's what the Ten Commandments are for. To manage unbelief on the earth. Malcolm Smith said it's like an emergency brake God put in place to keep everybody from shooting everybody with their six shooter. Or there'd be nobody here. Okay? It's there to manage people going to and fro across the earth, trying to find life by the sweat of their brow. By either working harder, or taking a potion, or exercising more, or changing their diet so they're no longer morbidly obese. All these things we've been doing forever, and we still die. We still die in all that. We still end up dying. So, I don't want to die in unbelief, okay? I don't want to do that. If you're tied up into that, you can't believe the pure wisdom that there's nothing but God, there's only God. So we really begin going back and eating our own vomit again, because we've left our first love and forget the gospel message that there's only God, there's nothing but God. We've forgotten it. And we're chasing after a false kingdom. Living in the fear of death. There's no life there. So can we see God in every event? Or will I continue to question the appearances? Can I see God in everyone? Or will I question that truth and their behavior? Can I see the love of God in everyone? Can I judge them in righteousness as my eternal living Father already does and then come back in line with that truth? Can I do that? Or am I going to pray to an idol about what I'm seeing? The only thing that can melt away all the separation between all the appearances is understanding a realm of loving judgment already exists and it's here. Now I want to close with just a short emphasis on who we are. I just want to try to bring it in and tell you who you are. Are we spiritual people or are we fleshly people? If we're only trying to expunge things that trouble us in this world, we're not spiritual, we're fleshly. How can we live above the circumstances when we just go from circumstance to circumstance and somehow believe that seeing our blessing only comes when the circumstances line up with the good that we see coming from a fleshly realm? How are we different then from the people of this world? What separates us? God said, come out and be separate from that kind of understanding. That's what it means. It doesn't mean don't go hang out with them and drink beer with them at the bar. That's where Jesus hung out. He hung out with the publicans and the sinners. Those were who were in despair of their life, who maybe could hear. Maybe that's where we need to go. Do we really believe all things work together for our pure spiritual understanding, for our good? Do we believe that? We say it. Do we just agree with it? Or do we live in a realm where we're content. And out of that contentment and thankfulness, bring peace to those around us. That's the only thing you can do. It's the only place you can gather those around you. The crooked path will be made straight once you realize that it's your view of the path that needs to change. We think God's like Santa Claus or Tinkerbell. But it says he'll go before you and make the crooked path straight. It really means you no longer see the path as crooked. That's what it means. You don't see that it's crooked, and you quit praying to a God to make it look straight. Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Here it is again. So what will go before you is the understanding of the true God and loving judgment. And this will make the crooked paths straight. This is the answer. It makes the crooked path straight. So thank you. So glad you're with us. I'll see everybody out there in Webland tomorrow at 10 a.m. So good night. Thank you.